Savidasya.
Savidasya.
Authorized.
Authorized.
What does be to mean? With the original with the original seed. Of the original seed. Of Savidasya. Of the original seed.
With the seeds.
Yeah. Basics. Back to the basics. Ribhavate.
Ribhavate.
Of the order of the king.
Of the order of the king.
Mana. The mind.
The mind.
Yena.
Yena.
By which.
By which.
Eva.
Eva.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Vidina.
Vidina.
By practice.
By practice.
Prasannam.
Prasannam.
Joyful.
Joyful.
Yati.
Yati.
Translation performed by Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. First out of God had said, My dear mother, O daughter of the king, now I shall explain to you the system of yoga, the object of which is to concentrate the mind. By practicing the system, one can become joyful and progressively advance towards the path of the Absolute. What was the purpose of the yoga system?
Concentrate the mind, at which point it becomes joyful when you can attain the Absolute.
So, what is the... Hear the word prasanna. Prasanna. So where else do we find that? Yes. Yeah, so when one comes to the platform of Brahma Buddha, then one becomes Prasadama. But that's not the end. In other words, sometimes we think that the yoga system is the end, but actually it's the beginning. It's the beginning of the end and the end of the beginning. In other words, it's the end of material life and it's the beginning of spiritual life to come to the platform of Brahma Buddha. After Brahma Buddha, after liberation, then actual spiritual life begins. So the yoga system can bring us to the point of Brahma Buddha, but after that, then we have to take up the actual process of devotional service. Or the process of devotional service can bring us to the platform of Brahma Buddha, and then we continue on with our devotional service even after liberation. So, purport. The yoga process explained by Lokapila in this chapter is authorized and standard. And therefore, these instructions should be followed very carefully. So, who says they're authorized and standard? Prabhupada. So who authorized Prabhupada to say
Lord
that they're authorized? Look, feel it. It's always a wonderful thing. Prabhupada. And why are they authorized and standard? Yeah, we'll talk about that. To begin, the Lord says that by yoga practice, one can make progress toward understanding the Absolute Truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the previous chapter, it has been clearly stated that the desired result of yoga is not to achieve some wonderful mystic power. One should not be at all attracted by such mystic power, but should attain progressive realization on the path of understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, which states in the last verse of the sixth chapter that the greatest yogi is he who constantly thinks of Krishna within himself, or he who is Krishna conscious. It is stated here that by following the system of yoga, one can become joyful. Lord Kapila the personality of Godhead, who is the highest authority on yoga, here explains the yoga system known as Ashtanga Yoga, which comprises 8 different practices, namely Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhyana, and Samadhi. By all these stages of practice, one must realize Vishnu, who is the top target of all yoga. There are so-called yoga practices in which one concentrates the mind on voidness or on the impersonal. But this is not approved by the authorized yoga system as explained by Kapilade. Even Patanjali explains that the target of all yoga is Vishnu. Ashtanga yoga is therefore part of Vaishnava practice because its ultimate goal is realization of Vishnu. The achievement of success in yoga is not acquisition of mystic power, which is condemned in the previous chapter, but rather freedom from all material designations and situation in one's constitutional position. That is the ultimate achievement in yoga practice. So the text again. Shri Bhagavan Vacha Yogasya Lakshanam Vakshe Sabijasya Ripatmaje Tano Yenaiva Vidina Prasanam Yati Sakutin Pratam. Prasada Godhead said, "My dear mother, O daughter of a king, now I shall explain to you the system of yoga, the object of which is to concentrate the mind. By practicing this system, one can become joyful and progressively advance towards the path of the Absolute Truth." Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Kudaya Srimate Bhakti Granta Swami Dhaname Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Charane Nirvishesha Shunyavati Vatsashatyaya. From what I can understand, it's significant this word bija. I mentioned it. Bija means the seed. So what makes something authorized? For instance, if you plant an apple seed in the ground, and then something comes out which is called an apple, and the person who planted the seed says it's an apple, but someone else comes along and says it's not an apple, it's a pear. Well, obviously there's going to be a contradiction. Who's right? Who's actually authorized? Is it an apple or a pear? If you plant an apple seed and you get something coming out called apples, and if someone says it's apples, then it's authorized. And if someone says it's a pear, it's not authorized. So similarly, the original speaker of the yoga system is who? Who? In some form or another, Krishna spoke the yoga system. Imam Vishwate Yogam Proktavanaham Aviyam. Now, neither any of our present yogis originally spoke the yoga system. I don't think. Maybe we have many famous yogis, but none of them are the source of the yoga system. The source of the yoga system is Krishna. So if we want to find out what the yoga system is and what's the objective, then we have to ask Krishna. If someone else comes along and says it's some other objective, some other method, then they're not authorized. They, as I probably used to say, if you want to have your own philosophy, then preach your own philosophy. But don't take the Bhagavad Gita and start preaching your own philosophy from the Bhagavad Gita. That Krishna is not really speaking to Arjuna, it's the unborn within Krishna who's speaking. So that's unauthorized. At least, then make up your own system of philosophy, but don't use Krishna's system. So here it says that the point is to fix the mind upon Krishna. So why does it mention what the point is? Why not just do your own thing? And if you're fortunate enough, then you'll fix your mind upon Krishna. why does Prabhupada emphasize, don't fix your mind upon mystic yoga. Don't make that your goal. How many here have developed any mystic powers since they've been practicing the yoga system? Anyone here has developed any mystic power? Of course we have, otherwise we wouldn't practice it. If the yoga system wasn't effective, how can we not? Oh, if the yoga system produces partly as a result, not the full result, is mystic power, then we must have some mystic power by practicing the yoga system. Otherwise, how can the devotees, for instance, go out and distribute books unless they have mystic power? Is that right, Vijay? It may not look like mystic power. It may not be, you know, what we think. We're not Spider-Man or whoever else we consider. We may not be able to fly, but as even Vijay Guru said in his class yesterday, what was Prabhupada's mystic power? He made Malechias and Yavanas into devotees. So that's, Prabhupada thought that that was the most powerful mystic power potency that anyone could have.
We already had those powers, though.
It was a display of his mystic powers. And by displaying those mystic powers, Krishna empowered him even more to his own end to it. So Prabhupada certainly had those mystic powers. He'd simply appear somewhere and people would start crying. They didn't know why. That's a pretty mystic power. Sometimes we may appear and people may start crying also. But it may be a different potency than Prabhupada's potency. But just to stop someone in the street, anyone, not only the devotees, but anyone, you know, who can watch people, just to understand who to stop in the street requires some contact with the super soul. Because after all, where do mystic powers actually come from, according to the Bhagavad Gita, or the Dharma?
It comes from the Paramatma, the 11th.
Yes, they're all from the Parma, and according to our, according to what?
What you want. And what part of the Paramatma you're meditating
on? Well, yeah. First of all, you have to be able to meditate. Otherwise, you just say, hey, Paramatma, can you let me fly? No worries. Hang on. You have to become qualified. Everyone is meditating on Paramatma. Everyone, whatever we're able to do, is all a kind of a mystic power, actually, when you look at it. We're a little tiny soul, and we're watching this body. Just the fact that this bunch of blood and mucus and nerves and whatever else is within there is actually doing these things. Must be under some mystic power. But to speak of birds flying in the air, or insects burrowing into the ground, it's all being supplied mystically by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now we ourselves have mystic power, of course, we know, little mystic power. We cut our finger, it heals. But that's also mystic power. But just the fact that we can talk, we're taking air, breathing it in, and more or less breathing it out, and making it in such a way that people can hopefully understand what we're saying. That's also mystic power. The problem is, in my society, people become so dull, they don't see this mystic power everywhere. What to speak of the sun rising at its appointed time, and the sun setting at its appointed time. Someone has the mystic power to do that. And we also have our little bit of mystic power, can increase or decrease. And that depends upon how much we're dovetailed with the Supreme Mystic. After all, at the end of Bhagavad Gita, what does Sanjaya say? Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna. By Krishna is the master of all mystic power. Why did he use the word Yogeshwara? The master of all mystic power, who was speaking personally to Arjuna. Because Krishna was talking, the whole Bhagavad Gita is all about mystic power. At least, not all, mystic power, either of love, which is also quite a mystic power, the mystic power of Srimati Radharani and Yashoda Devi, for instance, they have some mystic power that they can conquer the supreme mystic. That's a lot of power. So here it says that why is it saying we should not be interested in mystic power? Because whatever we're interested in, whatever we're actually determined, first of all, most of us are not so much interested in mystic power. Most people are interested in only the mystic power of eating something and having it digest, which is also getta agni. That's also mystic power. But we're praying after we eat, oh my dear, may I be empowered mystically to digest it. This food, which is inconceivably a huge quantity, which normally couldn't fit into such a small place, please, by mystic power, let it go there and let it be happy. Prasanna. So we have an interest in some part of mystic power, but generally it's not the kind of mystic power that maybe Srila Prabhupada was referring to, such as being able to float in the air, or be able to become smaller and smaller. These are extreme mystic powers. These require great, great concentration on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so that He can reveal what is the aspect of the material world that one has to desire to manipulate. Of course, it's all being done by Krishna, so that one can actually achieve these powers. It requires a lot of concentration on a certain aspect of material energy. Just like we're concentrating right now on an aspect of our possible experience. But everything depends upon a number of factors, what we're going to achieve, and one of the factors is called determination. We have to find out what we should be determined to do. Just like many times devotees will ask the question, how can I fix my mind on japa? Which means that how to increase my determination to actually listen to the holy name. And what does Krishna say in the Bhagavad Gita? Shanai Shinar Uparamed Budya Drita Grihitaya Atma Samstamana Kripa Nakin Chit Api Shindaya. That after going through an explanation of the process and the perfection of the yoga system, then Krishna gives it a little bit more in detail, and he says, gradually, step by step, with full conviction, should be situated in trance by means of intelligence sustained by full conviction. And I just repeat myself twice. And thus the mind should be fixed on the self alone and should think of nothing else. In other words, the word is driti. Driti means determination. At least that's how it's sometimes. Or here is translated as conviction. We have to become convinced that actually what I want is to develop my relation with Krishna. That's why I'm doing everything. Or anything. Or something at least. Is to develop my relation with Krishna. And how is it going to be developed? Gradually, step by step. We have to develop the conviction that that's what I want, is a relation with Krishna. So in such a state, if the mind wanders, then I bring it back. Because I want to develop somehow or another my relation with Krishna. One should become situated in trance. So our goal is trance. Not the kind of trance where we're walking around bumping into things, hopefully. Or we sit there in trance and no one can get us out of the trance. But the kind of trance where we're always in relation with Krishna. And how is that trance achieved? By the yoga system It's achieved mechanically, and by the bhakti system, it's achieved through the process of devotional service. In other words, we hear philosophy, so much philosophy, but what does it boil down to? Something very simple. But it takes a lot of simple philosophy to understand conceptions like everything here belongs to Krishna. So that's the conditioned soul, first of all. It's quite a shock to find out that nothing belongs to them. Matter of fact, it's such a shock that they don't believe it. I mean, we may hear it so many times, and even if we believe it, we become very depressed thinking about it. And even if we don't get depressed thinking about it, then we don't accept it. And even if we think we accept it, then how many of us, 24 hours a day, everything that we see, everything that we experience, everything we do, is simply dedicated to the service of Krishna. Because it's all his energy. We look at we pick up the glass and we think it's Krishna's glass. I pick up the glass and I think, well, I'm thirsty. Good thing someone put it there. So it's a vision also of actually theoretically accepting and then try to remember, at least remember, everything belongs to Krishna. So in class it's easy, and hopefully when we're reading it's easier. But everything is Krishna's energy, and therefore the conclusion is whatever I'm doing should be done simply to please Krishna. And then how to find out how to please Krishna? Well, we have to ask Krishna. Well, that's really a shock. I got to ask Krishna. How many during the day are always asking Krishna, Krishna, what do you want me to do? How many go through the day and we think, I wonder where Krishna was during the day. I know where I'm trying to remember where I was. I can't remember where. Did I remember Krishna even during the day? Do I remember Krishna when I'm chanting japa? What to speak of other times? Can we chant 60 rounds and at the end we think, oh, that's right, I should remember Krishna during when I was chanting japa. That would have been a good thing too. Add him along. So we should think that what does Krishna want me to do? And how do we find out? We simply go before the deities and say, Krishna, what do you want me to do? And then the deity says, go and get some ice cream. Yes, sir. You got it. Some for you, some for me. Now, how do we know what Krishna actually wants us to do? Sometimes the devotees say, I dreamt last night that Krishna wanted me to scream at you. Or Krishna wanted me to bloop. And then our reply is, well, I dreamt last night, Krishna came to me, and he told me that actually he didn't want you to bloop. And he wanted me to come and tell you that your dream was false. So that's not the best criteria. But whatever Krishna had to say, he said in the Bhagavad Gita or in other such literature. And therefore, when we study Bhagavad Gita, then if we refer to the Bhagavad Gita, we may find out what Krishna wants us to do. If we're sincere enough to try to find out. And besides that, there's another person helping us to find out what Bhagavad Gita help us. Besides Krishna's representatives from without, is who else?
Super soul.
Yes, the super soul. He's trying to help us understand. If we want to understand, he's helping us. Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam. When he sees that we want to be constantly engaged in worshiping him with love, then he gives us the intelligence gradually that we can come to him. It doesn't come all at once. He gives us intelligence. And then, if we actually apply that intelligence in devotional service, he becomes pleased. Then he manifests himself before us by his name, his form, his quality, his pastimes, his associates, He manifests himself before us, and we become, to some degree or another, conscious of Krishna, of which one of the nicest symptoms of becoming conscious of Krishna is we become blissful. We become joyful. That's only the beginning installment. Joyfulness means freedom from material conceptions, material designations. We become situated on the spiritual platform. And then after that, there is Tushanti, and then after Tushanti, there's Ramanti. This actually positive spiritual pleasure. So the yoga system is meant for that, and our process is, whatever we're doing, we should think, everything here belongs to Krishna, and my job is simply to find out what Krishna wants me to do. Through Guru, through Sadhu and Shastra, through prayer to the Super Soul, that he can help me understand what Guru, Sadhu and Shastra is saying. And then when I can understand, then I act as a Madhparaha devotee. Madhparaha devotee is one who has no goal in life save and except to act in Krishna consciousness just to satisfy Krishna. And once such a person thinks, I have been appointed to discharge this particular duty by Krishna. So before we start our activity, we don't think that Krishna has been appointed to discharge this particular duty. Then, what is it called? Our activity? According to that purport? It's called whimsical. We're acting whimsically. Because we don't usually think we're acting whimsically. I'm a very intelligent person, whatever I'm doing. I got so much praise, it must have been good. Even Krishna may not be aware of how good it was, but after he hears all my praise, then even he becomes appreciative too. He may have thought it was wrong, but now that everyone else likes it, sometimes we hear that. If the devotees like it, then it must be good. Or Prabhu, you don't understand. The devotees wanted me to do it. They liked it that I did it like that. And you're objecting? You must be admired. So it's actually Krishna. We have to find out what Krishna wants. And if those who are actually devotees, they'll like what Krishna wants. Those are these advanced devotees. That oneness, and I've been appointed to start this particular duty by Krishna. Therefore, when we sit down at our desk, we should think, I'm here because Krishna told me to be here. When we get up and go somewhere else, it's because Krishna wants us to go there. And what should we think while we're doing it? I'm doing it just to please Krishna. I found out what Krishna wanted me to do. I'm thinking about it. Not that, you know, it's a coin for sincerity also. Now, we know there's so many possibilities of either forgetting Krishna entirely and just doing whatever my senses and mind are doing and thinking because I'm a devotee, it's all right. Or just concocting what we think Krishna wants me to do. Krishna wants me to eat this extra glove to me. It'll make me happy. When I'm happy, Krishna's happy too. Although my intelligence is saying, beep, 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 you already had 3 extra glove to me. It's really not going to fit. You're going to regret it. No, we have to actually be sincere. I'm doing this to please Krishna. And that means all kinds of instructions should come to mind in relationship to actually what will please Krishna. If nothing comes to our mind what's actually going to please Krishna, then how do we know if it's going to be pleasing to Krishna? So a devotee has to be thoughtful. It's not that we come to class, we hear this class, so much philosophy, I take whatever I like and I just go back and I leave besides whatever doesn't apply to my life. So the devotee has to become very thoughtful and learn actually what's pleasing to Krishna. What he wants us to do, how he wants us to do it, become transcendentally expert. It's not enough to just be expert, but transcendentally expert in how to please Krishna, with transcendental discrimination, especially how to preach the Hare Krishna movement, the Sankirtan movement. It takes a tremendous amount of discrimination and transcendental expertise to actually be able to convert people from leches and yavanas, from persons who act simply whimsically, to persons who are actually thoughtful and are always thinking about how to please Krishna and have accepted everything as Krishna's energy, meant for his service. Then, what will be the result? That I have no goal in life, save and accept, act in Krishna consciousness, just to satisfy Krishna. What will be the result of all this endeavor of philosophical understanding, of investigating what Krishna wants me to do, of dedicating my energies for his service, trying to please him? What will be the result? I'll get name, fame, adoration, and profit. Maybe, but that's not what the result is supposed to be. What should be the result? What's that?
Krishna's pleasure.
How will we know if Krishna is pleased?
I would say Bhagavad Gita 9.2.
Of course, there's more than one answer. Of course, probably one time a devotee was asked Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, what is the goal? And one devotee said, it's develop love of God. And another devotee said, no, it's become joyful. And another time, the same devotee said, he was on the same morning walk, and Prabhupada said, what is the goal of Krishna consciousness? He said, to become joyful. He said, no, it's to develop the love of God. So there's more than one. But in this Vidila, what Prabhupada points out, that if we go through all this endeavor, what will be the result? Is that one will naturally remember Krishna. That's called Krishna consciousness. That means that, as Prabhupada points out here, concentrate the mind upon Krishna. If we constantly do this, then the mind will become more and more concentrated on Krishna. And that's called Krishna consciousness. And that's what we're trying to achieve. To live with Krishna by concentrating our mind upon him. Because there's no difference between Krishna's name and his forms, his quality, his associates, and their activities, and their loving exchanges. And when we combine these all together, that's called Krishna consciousness. And that's our goal, is to live with Krishna in Krishna consciousness. There's nothing better than that. So then in the beginning, there's the bija, as mentioned here. There's the bija, that is the bija. We're chanting Hare Krishna, we're hoping to finish our rounds. Matter of fact, sometimes we become joyful when then finally the last counter beat goes down. We become prasanna. But so that's the seed. We try, hopefully, to fix the mind a little bit upon Krishna. And by developing that seed, gradually we become conscious of Krishna. But we follow the process, because hearing not only the holy name, hearing the philosophy, so that one day the holy name will actually not only be some sound vibration, we think we're chanting Hare Krishna, but it'll be Krishna's name, form, quality, pastimes, associates, the whole spiritual world. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, Krishna's pastimes, pastimes of Mahavishnu, they'll all be there. Some will all be there within us. We'll be experiencing it. So the bija, we're taking the bija, because the bija is coming from these books, from Krishna, we're applying it. We may not get the full fruit yet, but if we carefully handle the seed, then eventually we will get the whole fruit. And what is the fruit? Krishna consciousness, which automatically also produces, when it's done through the process of devotional service, love of God. So I'm going to stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments?
Yes. Just a comment that it's interesting that Kapila calls his mother Nirbhatmite.
Probably called his mother Lanyamite. Oh, his daughter of the king. Not everything has a significance.
You don't usually say to your mother, even if she is a princess, you don't usually say to your mother, oh, princess. Oh, king's daughter. It's just interesting how they talk to each other, how the people in Bhagavatam, what their societal relationships are, and how they deal with each other.
Yes.
Why do you think that Sabi Jasya authorized is not mentioned in the translation? And yet it's such an essential.
The word system is there.
Hmm?
System. The system of yoga.
That's yogasya. Of the yoga system. It's, it doesn't. It's not. Yeah, Prabhupada does mention it right in the beginning of the purport, right?
Yeah.
I actually think it's right. I mean, you have yogasya and sabijasya. Yogasya would just be yoga. You could say, I shall explain to you yoga. And because it's both yogasya and sabijasya, you have the system.
Well, it's not only a yoga system, it's the authorized yoga system.
Yeah, authorization.
Okay. Because there's the bija from the bija is to fix them, just like Shraddha. Shraddha means to focus one's attention, give one's love to Krishna. So that's the beginning of our system, is Shraddha focusing. So the bija is to focus one's mind, and eventually, after that, the one can give one's love to Krishna. Love means devotional service. The object, the bijasya of the yoga system is actually to focus the mind on Krishna. So that is the authorized yoga system. That's the purpose. And then after that, then devotional service begins, which is to give one's love to Krishna. Of course, there's some love even at the beginning, but actual real love develops after liberation.
Yeah, the point about mystic potencies. We don't realize that we've got, I think you made that point, we don't realize that we've got mystic potencies. And when we develop those potencies, we don't directly relate them to the process of devotional service because we already had those powers before we became devotees.
Not necessarily. Samadhamma dipaso chyam, chandiyarya evisha, jnana vijanamasti yam, brahma karmas bhavita. So those are some of the mystic powers of a Brahma, which we're developing, which only came out of devotional service. You have a Prabhupada mentions, for instance, in the conversation 1977 about Vanashram, where Prabhupada wanted to establish Vanashram because he saw that not everyone had the mystic power of a Brahma. And then they were all over, he was giving second initiation.
Cleanliness.
Yeah, like cleanliness. That's mystic power, to actually remember that I should wash my hands before I eat prasadam. And not only that, but even if they're still clean, I should wash them afterwards. So these are, they have austerity, religiosity, these are actually, they're some of the highest mystic powers in the material world. Mm. And by such mystic powers, when they're fully developed, Brahmins were able to chant mantras and even control the universe through the mantras.
And you made that point about being able to stop people.
Yeah, that's a mystic
power. I always wanted to be able to just talk to people. You know, to stop people and just talk to them. Not, you know, just to be friendly and relate with them. And I only learned that as a devotee. The devotees taught me that I could actually stop people on the street and talk to them. And and they would actually listen to me.
Yeah.
Of course, sometimes they don't, right? But more often than not. And so you don't realise it. Or you, it was my original, or not early realisations that by chanting Hare Krishna and associating with the devotees, I could do a lot of things that I never thought I could do before.
Yeah. Krishna supplies the dharma, the yoga, the intelligence to do these things, which is not just some theoretical knowledge, it's actually potency to do it. Yes?
Well, in that regard, if we're going to talk about those good qualities of suffering as mystic powers, and if we find that we're struggling to develop some particular good quality, what would be the bhakti yoga way of developing that quality?
Well, I think I mentioned the process. But first of all,
you explain it in regard specifically to that kind of thing. Like,
well, the bad qualities come out of the lower modes. The lower modes means we think we're the owner and we think we're the enjoyer. And when we give them up, then we come to the next stage, which is also conditioning, which we think we're the liberator. Which more or less we think at that point, we have those good qualities, and then we identify them as ours. But at least we think we possess the good qualities, they're ours. So above that is understand that I'm simply an instrument. That these are not my qualities, I'm not the doer. They're Krishna's qualities, he's the doer. And I'm simply, by the mercy of my spiritual master in Krishna, I'm able to be their instrument. Otherwise, I have no qualification. Anything else? Thank you very much. Grandharaj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai, Guru Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Pur Premanande.